The wait is over. Goombas on the Beat is back after a brief week off, and they have plenty to discuss after a wild divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Although it wasn't a good weekend for your boy, Dan and Dago. I have to suffer through another AFC Championship game with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but that's okay. Justin Herbert's time is coming. Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. But enough about my thoughts. We don't have enough time for that. I'll let Fernando and Humberto break down the NFL playoffs. They'll share their takeaways from Chargers GM Tom Telesco's end-of-season news conference and discuss the Chargers 2022 offseason before previewing the Rams in the NFC Championship against the Niners and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship against the Bengals this Sunday. But first, make sure you're subscribed to Goombas on the Beat on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Goombas on the Beat. Now, it's time! Let's get to the best damn podcast in the universe! Play the music, Nando!
Welcome to Goombas on the Beat. It has been 2 weeks. I don't know what to do with my life anymore. The season's been over. I've grown some facial hair. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm Fernando Ramirez, Chargers reporter for SI. With me, as always, is my co-host, my tag team partner, Gilbert Manzano, OC Register, LA Daily News. What's up, bro?
What's going on? Am I at the right show? Is your mic turned on? I don't get this slow
broken man
from you. I don't get you, man. I kind of feel sad for you, Fernando. Like, you got an early off season. Most NFL reporters will kill for this. And you're not out exploring the world. Instead, you're hiding with sunglasses and a hoodie and whatever that hat is from whatever team I've never heard of and no sleeves on your sweater. What's going on, Fernando? I don't understand you.
Bro, it's been kind of boring the last 2 weeks. I don't know.
Did you not watch football this weekend from your couch, working from home?
I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. I'm pissed that I went 0-4 over the weekend.
That's why you're sad and wearing sunglasses. You're trying to hide. You're 0-4.
I'm here. I went 0-4. I know I suck. I was surprised. But my bad. I'm gonna give you one. What's up, bro?
Thank you, man. Usually I'm like, okay, I don't eat these what's up, bro, with energy, but it's been 2 weeks and I don't know. I'm kind of worried about you, man. Everything okay? Just because you went 0-4?
No. It's just 2 weeks. I've been bored like 2 weeks and kind of like trying to see what's next, trying to see what to do and everything. And then no compas for a week. So obviously I was kind of like, but I've been hanging out with obviously Dan and Dago, trying to be safe, not trying to do anything reckless, trying to stay healthy for Super Bowl week. Obviously, it's in our backyard, so I'm hyped for that. This weekend was just, I think it's one of the best NFL weekends I think I've ever seen of football. Just all four games were awesome. Very surprised. So real quick recap, we'll get into this in a little bit, but man, it was just a good slate of football. What my takeaway was, holy crap, like the AFC is going to be a slugfest for years to come. But I don't know what you thought about about both. Cause to me, it was the old football heads in the NFC. And you kind of saw the young guns in the AFC with all these young quarterbacks and some of that. So that's the way I kind of saw it.
Damn, Fernando, you just kind of reminded me of something that, speaking of being sad and gloomy and down, you know, I enjoyed the games all off the bat. It was amazing football, but part of me was like, no Justin Herbert. Imagine Justin Herbert in the playoffs right now. I'm not trying to get people sad, but you're kind of reminding me with the young guys in the AFC. But yeah, I think we're going to talk about that later on.
That was
one of my big takeaways. It's kind of like, what a missed opportunity for the Chargers and for football fans. Imagine Justin Herbert balling out there. But I'll save that for the next segment. Overall, I don't know if I should call it the best weekend ever of football because people like, you know, they don't remember other weekends, and yeah, we don't have like the memory to go all the way back, whatever.
Four thrillers.
Okay, off the bat, let's get that established. Fernando, the four thrillers. But yeah, you can't really compete with that. All of them went down to the last second in that last game. Oh man, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, what a slugfest!
There was a reason why they left that game for Sunday.
I know. I was gonna say it felt like one. Remember those the UFC cards are stacked. And the co-main event is like amazing. You're like, oh, wait, it's another fight left, a main event. Okay, let's get to that one too. And it's just as good.
The one that we saw in Philly with Thug Rose, with Colby. Going. Yeah. It was just, they kept on getting better and better.
Yeah, so it was a good weekend of football. I'm not going to complain, but I don't know. I'm always like, come on, let's slow it down. The best weekend ever in NFL history. It's been 100 years of football. I'm sure there's other good ones. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I can't remember off the bat recently a weekend like that, especially after the wild card games were kind of boring, to deliver like that in the division around was just a whole lot of fun.
By the way, I went 5-6 that weekend, so
I did too, Fernando. Keep in mind, I was remembering the number because I'm gonna bring it up. I am 7-3 in the playoffs, Fernando, after a 2-2 performance this weekend.
I know you got the two games on Sunday, man. I was literally, what, 13 seconds in one and probably about 45 seconds in the other one of potentially flipping. But obviously that's not the way it goes. But Gilbert, let's talk a little bit. We have been out for a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about the obviously Tom Telesco spoke a week after he was supposed to speak to us. It was an hour-long press conference. A lot to really digest and really sit down and kind of analyze. What was probably your biggest takeaway from his recap, or from basically his recap of the season?
A little bit of the same old from Telesco. Like, I think I wrote in my story, it felt a little bit like last year, where it's trying to look at the positive. Like, yeah, we have Justin Herbert, and we have all this money in the salary cap, and we have a great supporting cast, and you know, the only difference being like we found the head coach and Brandon Staley. So, you know, there was some progress there. It just felt a little bit like last year, bright future kind of speech. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, we missed the playoffs again. Who cares? Because we're a step closer. And yeah, there were steps to be made, you know, like finding your identity under Brandon Staley, you know, getting a bunch of fans in L.A. because of Justin Herbert hype. And you fix off the offensive line for the most part. You still got to work on the right side. But yeah, it was a progress report. It felt like it was like, okay, here's what I've done. But it's kind of like you missed the playoffs again. And then the other thing that really stood out to me, you know, I don't want to say he took some blame, because he took blame last year for the bad special teams. But it sounded like the same kind of speech of taking the blame on the defense, you know, just a different kind of unit. So you try to fix special teams and then the defense is now broken. It's kind of like a balance he's trying to figure out. Leak over here. Oh, let me stop that one. Let me go stop this one. Oh, we're good here. And it just felt familiar. I guess I'll end it with that, and I'll let you kind of give your point of view. But it felt like same old to me.
And here is what Gilbert is talking about when he says that kind of the same old, and him taking ownership of the defense.
And then Las Vegas, you know, we just didn't play our best when our best was needed. And obviously the focus is late in the year, but obviously we had the whole year to try and pick up a little bit extra ground. But I will say this, and I know it's going to be a big topic, and I understand it should be. When you look to where our defense was this year, and look, accountability is taking ownership. It's also taking blame, so however you want it to define that. But I'll take the responsibility that our defense did not play up to the expectations that we had for them. As I looked at this team moving, the defense moving into this year, certainly knew it was going to be a different scheme, new system, new coaches. But I felt like at all three levels, we had a playmaker or playmakers at all three levels, plus with high football character, high football intelligence, it should be pretty seamless. Okay.
I understand where he's going with it, but I wrote in my story last week when Brandon analyzed the defense and everything. I put in my story, you literally returned 9 starters that got Gus Bradley fired, that blew numerous leads. And you decided to return all those guys and tell Brandon Staley, hey, try and fix it with all these guys. And I thought that was kind of the only people that you brought in were Asante Samuel Jr. And you basically started Kaiser White over Denzel Perryman in a sense. That's I understand. Okay. Ownership and everything, but I agree with what you said. It just sounded like the same old thing. One, two, you try to get him to speak about his past. He wouldn't do it. I try to get him to talk about it. He's not going to do it. It's evident that he doesn't want to talk about the past. And that's a little concerning because, I mean, you have to be accountable and be like, yeah, I've messed up in drafts. I mean, from the 2013, 14, 15, and 16 draft, the only guys that he still has here are Joey Bosa and Keenan Allen. I mean, that means that all those drafts were basically throwaways. And then you look at some of the drafts now, 2017, I think Mike is the only guy that's still here from the two. There you go. You only have three guys literally from the 2000. Well, he's going to count Austin Eckler in there, but whatever. So you have four guys out of all those drafts that are still here. I don't know. And I understand his point about, oh, the defense. But Gilbert, could you really look at this defense and be like, oh, there's play? Like, I didn't think there was a playmaker at corner. Asante kind of, he flashed at times. But, I mean, let's be honest, he did struggle at times too, which there's nothing wrong with that. He's a rookie. But I didn't see, like, there's nothing at corner that I could think of, oh, wow, okay, like, they have this. On the defensive line, I mean, Justin Jones went down again. It hurt them. Linebacker, it's Kaiser White. And then I think there's a gap between Tranquil and Kaiser. And then I think there's another gap between him and Kenneth. And then safety, obviously, it's Derwin. And there's a fat gap. And then it's the other guy. So I think he was kind of going on, there's one playmaker on each position in defense, which, but there's a fat gap in between the playmakers and the next level of players that's on there. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, he didn't want to address the previous 8 years. I asked Tom Telesco, why, you know, like, you're going to year 10. Why is this not working? Why is there no, like, yeah, there's progress, but there's baby steps. Like, why isn't there, like, a bigger step in progress? Why isn't it more at a frequent rate? And he wouldn't go there. And I guess the only thing that we kind of could, you know, talk about that where he acknowledged that was his defense. He built this defense. He got a lot of draft picks in the first round, second round, spending free agency. So in essence, that was kind of his way of saying, yeah, I misjudged this defense. I overestimated this defense, and that's my bad. That was kind of his way of saying, like, I've tried everything with this defense, and it sounded like he was a little surprised and a little defeated about it. Usually with Tom, he doesn't show emotion or his cards, you know, and that one was like, yeah, I messed up. And you kind of think about, you know, going back to the beginning of the year, and I think some of us were like, you know what, this defense might be good. And I'll say that I'll take some blame here for saying, you know, I thought Derwin James being healthy is going to be the biggest difference maker in the world. And Joey Bosa on the field. And yeah, he has some talented young guys. And I thought Brandon Staley could really fix that right away because of what he did with the Rams. But Brandon kept saying training camp and in the lead up throughout the whole year was, this defense is very young. Let's slow down on the defense. He kept saying that this defense is very young. And it kind of sounded like what Brandon was trying to tell Tom, like, hey, let's slow the roll on the defense because they're very young. It's a new scheme. It's going to take some work. And I think that's why Tom is kind of like, okay, maybe Brandon was right in that sense. So, you know, because, yeah, these guys are what, Nas already year three, Tillery year three. You know, Kenneth Murray didn't work. I shouldn't say didn't work out, but hasn't worked out. It's only year two for him. They hit on Asante so far, but, you know, he missed a lot of games as well. So I think now, and I think the way that Tom kept phrasing it was like, yeah, let's forget about the last few years. It's year one. That to me sounds like Brandon and Tom are attached at the hip. They're going to be together for the long haul. So they're going to kind of like look at it that way. It was year one. Who knows? Maybe now Tom's like, okay, Brandon, you're right. This defense is very young. They don't really fit the scheme. Let's kind of do a drastic makeover. So I think when you see these guys or this kind of makeover in the offseason, you're going to know, okay, Tom was that's just kind of his way of admitting it did not work out with the defense.
Yeah, no, and the crazy part is that Tom's like, I thought the offense would struggle. And I was kind of like, I kind of thought to myself, like, there's no reason for the offense to struggle. I mean, I knew the new system, but you had continuity between Keenan, between Mike, between Justin. And the thing is, and I wrote it today, I wrote an article about how Mike Williams should come back next season. He's earned himself not a new contract, but I basically put he's earned to come back in a powder blue jersey, because I don't put anything past the Chargers. They could put him in, they could franchise tag him. They could give him a new contract. We don't know what's going to happen, but the continuity, Justin Herbert hadn't had continuity and hasn't had it in his collegiate career or in his professional career. He's never had the coaches, the coach, the offensive coordinator, and the weapons around him to stay at the same time. This is going to be his first offseason where it potentially could happen. Now it's obviously about bringing back Mike, because the whole Davante Adams, everybody needs to realize by now, and Aaron Rodgers was on the Pat McAfee show, and he basically said they're going to try and keep Davante no matter what, either franchise tag or new contract. So that one's already out of there. Like, there's no way, I don't think, that Devontae is going to hit free agency. But literally, it's Mike, or I don't know what else is out there for them, but Mike has shown this last year. I mean, he was clutch, 7 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, 432 of his yards were in the fourth quarter. Whenever Justin needed something, that's who he really looked at for those big time plays. But my bad, going back to the defense, he thought that the offense was going to struggle and the defense was going to be the better of the two. I didn't. I thought the offense is going to be fine.
The funny thing, Brandon said the opposite too. He said, you know, the offense is really far along, but still around the defense. So it's just weird to me how they thought differently in terms of that.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and you know what? I was thinking about that the other day, because I found one of my old articles and it said I even had the quote from Brandon thinking, I think the offense is further along than the defense is. And I'm like, wow, even then, like, it was two completely different forms of thinking. But I truly am wondering what I mean, because everybody expects now, they're going to go crazy and spend most of their money on defense. I don't think they'll necessarily just completely do it on defense, just because you still need to fix that right side of the offensive line. I know Telesco had a glowing remark about Storm Norton, but come on, you can't throw him out there. No, and honestly, and you know what's funny? What did I tell you on the drive over I think I told you and Jeff that the last time they were in a win and in situation that DJ Fluker got destroyed by Justin Houston I think it was like 5 sacks of Phillip Rivers. And that's exactly what almost happened literally that Sunday, is that Max Crosby got like 9 pressures in the fourth quarter against Storm Norton. So you're going to need more of that. You're going to need another wall on that right side. So the draft is going to be interesting. Free agency is going to be interesting. I just don't know. I can't say they're going to lean one way or another, but it definitely looks like they're going to lean more defense, because of how many free agents they have on that defensive side of the football. But you can't keep them all, and it's going to be interesting to see who they decide to keep and who they decide to go.
Yeah, and you know, second to more on the defense, because that core group of free agents, you know, Kaiser White, Justin Jones, Chan Owusu, Linval Joseph, you know, how many of those guys come back? Like, these are all guys that Brandon Staley liked, but was it just guys he liked at the moment? Do these guys fit the scheme? And just coming off of all the takeaways from Brandon and Tom for the exit interview, it sounded like they were like, you know what, let's give it a try with the current roster. If it doesn't work, we're going to start from scratch. And I think that's where they're headed. But it's tough to tell, because, you know, I think Brandon likes Kaiser, but then Tom drafted Kenneth Murray in the first round. Are they going to be done with him? Would that be a thing? You know, do you want to start all over with the, you know, interior of the defensive line? Yeah, maybe you want to, because it was so bad. But then again, people love Justin Jones. Justin Jones was a playmaker out there. Does he come back?
His only problem is injury. He's been injured every single year. And the thing is, we already have to pencil in Jerry Tillery as a starter. There's no ins or buts about it. He's already a starter on that defensive line.
We could spend all day talking about this on this podcast right now, but it's like, after Tom sounded so defeated about the defense, you got to stop thinking about the draft pick. Like, if Jerry's not going to work out and Ken's not going to work out, move on. But I don't know, because when I asked him about Jared Taylor, he said he liked the skill set. So I don't know. He's ready to give up on
so much in these 3 years.
So,
like,
I don't know, Fernando. So, you know, but if you get rid of Justin Jones, you're kind of essentially starting all over with that. Like you're from like tearing it all the way down. Yeah, it was bad to begin with, but are you going to spend your first round pick on a D tackle? Are you going to go get one in free agency? Are you going to spend money on that way? And then with Owusu, he showed a lot of flashes. He stepped up in the biggest game of the year, but has there been enough flashes? Is he consistent to be a number 2? And everything I hear from Brandon Staley, I think I really believe him when he says he is one of my guys. This guy's a system guy. This guy fits everything. And Tom loves him too. So I think he might be the most likely to return. But even that, you know, what do you do? Just kind of get rid of all the free agents and start it all over again and rebuild? That's going to be the interesting thing for me. I just like how Tom tries to kind of cover his base. He's like, yeah, the defense is really, you know, surprisingly bad. But we're going to mess with all phases, offense and special teams, just to make sure you're not thinking it's going to be all defense. But yeah. I really feel like it's going to be a big defense. Who knows, in the draft or free agency, we'll see. But they got to do something with that defense because it was really bad a year ago.
Yeah, I know. And that's going to be the interesting thing to monitor this offseason, whether or not he will be, or who comes back, who doesn't. But Gilbert, let's move into what we really want to talk about. Man, these divisional games over the weekend were... I had a lot of fun with it, especially like you mentioned, the wild card was a little bit boring in a sense, but these games this weekend, I mean, you first start off with Cincinnati and Tennessee. Tennessee sacks Joe Burrow 9 times and Joe Burrow still gets the victory. Incredible.
You know, I'll start off with this. You know, when we were making our picks, you texted me for my picks to kind of just to know. We didn't have a show last week, so you wanted to, you know, get my ticks or my picks via text. And I didn't really care. Like, whatever, if I go in 4, who cares? You know, just kind of these dumb picks. And then your brother texted me because I started the first day on 2. You're a curse. You're a curse. I was doing the same old stick he always does, saying that I'm bad luck for everything. See, you picking these 2 teams. They lost because of you. Meanwhile, you picked the same 2 teams on Saturday and they lost 2, but he doesn't care about that. But then there was more writing on it. I was like, okay, I can't let this guy be right. I hate when he's right. So I was like, really, like, okay, Rams got to win. The Chiefs got to win. I got to show Dan and Dago that I'm not a curse, even though there's no such thing as a curse. He kind of made me get into the games a little more. So I don't know if it was good and bad. It kind of adds some juice to the picks there that we had. But I showed you, Dan and Dago, I am no curse. So next time, don't text me. Enjoy the games. And have fun watching the Chiefs in the AFC title game.
Do you kind of thank him for that, Ben?
No, because I was more invested. I wanted to chill back. So maybe he got me in that way, in a sense, you know? He screwed me regardless. So I was like, yeah. So I don't want to be invested in a game like that. So Dan and Dago, you got me that way. Credit to you. You know how to ruffle my feathers.
You guys are my hero bromance, by the way.
There's no romance. It's just a...
It's a bromance.
I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes I like him, but... I don't know. You know, he's got to accept it sometimes. Dan, the Chiefs are for reals. They're here to stay for the long haul. Kelce and Hill and Mahomes, they run the AFC West, and they might still run the AFC. So I know he was sour grapes about that, but watching that game, man, I don't know. Josh Allen is going to be a problem for a very long time, but it just kind of shows that, like, okay, the Chiefs, you know, have that different level, that different gear. And the Bills are not just quite there. That was kind of my biggest takeaway of the last game. But overall, like you said, Fran, watching Joe Burrow go to work, take sack after sack, you know, I don't know. Part of me, I shouldn't say this. Part of me was like, I'm not too surprised Joe Burrow beat the Titans. Like, usually, I don't know, like the number one seed, having a week off, maybe that kind of threw them off, trying to incorporate Derrick Henry. But, you know, it was a good win for Joe Burrow, and that was kind of a fun way to start the division around.
Yeah, no, and then obviously you move on, and it's Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers versus the San Francisco 49ers. It's snowing. Packers got off to a hot start on the first drive. They drive up the field, score quickly. Aaron, like I mentioned, was on the Pat McAfee show, and he mentioned that San Francisco just really, their defense really settled in and stopped allowing them to run the football, and that's kind of what kind of threw them off the rhythm. And then obviously the corners were trying to double Devontae and leaving other guys open. Other guys didn't, and Aaron didn't say this, this is just me saying this. Other guys didn't step up and other receivers didn't step up. They weren't able to spread the ball the way that we are accustomed to seeing the Green Bay Packers do it. And obviously the San Francisco goes in there, they block that punt. They end up winning the football game, and it was a very surprising game, Gilbert. That was the game that I thought was going to be the one blowout of the whole playoff weekend.
Yeah, and it kind of showed you how big special teams is in the NFL, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, the Chargers are in the middle of a special teams coordinator search right now. And, you know, maybe that's why Brandon did the change, because, yeah, there was good progress, but, you know, minimal progress for the special teams under Darius Swinton. But If he wants to be a playoff team next year, you can't be just a kind of below average special teams. You want to get better at a rapid pace. So maybe that's why he did the change. And that right there would show to you, like, it could go really bad for you to have that punt blocked and score. They felt like even the Packers, I know they were struggling on offense. It felt like they had the game under control. Jimmy G and the 49ers couldn't score either. But just one special teams blunder, and it kind of, you know, it dug them a hole there. So that was a big takeaway for me. I love watching Deebo Samuel play, man. Like that coach
is so electric.
Yes, yeah. I know a lot of teams like to try to, you know, copycat Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel, but it just shows that not everybody could do it. Like, those guys are so talented, they could do more, especially Deebo, man. He's like running back, wide receiver. And then Kyle Shanahan, man, like he got Trent Williams being a fullback, so he got really creative there. So that was kind of fun to see that on display. The Shanahan kind of system. I think a lot of these teams run that, and I think they did well, besides the Packers not advancing. So it showed you the special teams and a good running game really goes a long way. And that's kind of something the Chargers don't really have right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. Moving along to Rams, Bucks at one point looked like it was going to be a runaway, and the Bucks kind of settled down towards the end. They scored that, man. I couldn't believe Mike Evans got right past Jalen Ramsey, scored that long touchdown. And then obviously Cam Akers, Ndamukong Suh makes some fumble. They come back, they score the game tying touchdown. For some reason, I feel like the Bucks defense wasn't prepared for that Cooper Kupp catch. Like, I feel like they got confused on defense and they just let him go. That's not the guy. You can let anybody else get open. Don't let that guy get open. Obviously they did. And the Bucks were able to, or the Rams were able to win. Right now I'm going to eat crow and I'm going to say, I'm impressed by the Rams. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been able to, and I can admit when I've been wrong, but I'm very surprised at the way Matthew Stafford is playing right now. He really, I don't know how they were able to do it so quickly, but him and OBJ have really kind of gotten into rhythm. They're using all different kinds of weapons. They use a third tight end to score a touchdown. So I was very impressed by that fact. And the Rams beat Tom Brady. I mean, I was surprised. And now they're talking about how Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have both talked about retirement. Tom Brady said that he's going to take some time off. He's going to talk about it with his family, see if he decides to come back or not. Aaron Rodgers said he's going to take some time away. Today on the Pat McAfee Show, like I said, he didn't sound like he was going to retire, but he did sound like he is going to take some time away. He's going to see if he wants to come back to the Packers. Packers are $44 million under the cap. Plus, they have Davante Adams, who needs a contract extension. The both pass rushers, the Smith brothers, they're obviously free agents as well. He said, I don't want to come to a rebuilding situation. So that's going to be interesting to monitor. But yeah, no, it was a great game by the Rams, and I really thought that they played well in all three in both phases, on offense and on defense, and I really was impressed by the way Matthew Stafford has played.
Yeah, I'm really surprised with the Rams, and I think I believed in them a little more than you did, but I was losing kind of, you know, faith in them towards the end of the year. That they were kind of stumbling along. Matthew Stafford was throwing interceptions. The Rams defense couldn't stop the run. Maybe that's kind of an issue against the 49ers only. And the Rams, you know, against the Buccaneers, they had a good enough running game with Cam Akers. Yeah, he had the fumble, but that kind of helped balance it out for Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham and Matthew Stafford. And Odell kind of had this new life with the Rams, man. Like, I got impressed when I was watching him play against the Cardinals. That overall, I feel like the Rams turned on the switch against the Cardinals on Monday Night Football. That was dominant. They were dominant to start that game in Tampa Bay, but kind of, you know, they were kind of feeling that pressure. Maybe that's kind of the pressure of a new team finally, you know, get into them a little bit. So maybe I could do them good going into that 49ers matchup. But yeah, in a way, you kind of feel a little happy for Matthew Stafford. He's been in the league for over 12 years, and to finally have that moment, you know, he was saying like it would be nice to kind of have a blowout, but he's been dying for those moments in the playoffs to show what he can do, lead a comeback, and he did that. So for him, that was pretty cool to see Stafford and Kupp. And right now it's looking like the Rams are, you know, the top team in the NFC, but you can't count the 49ers because they've had their way against them.
Yeah, no, and the last game, obviously, man, 25 points were scored in the last 2 minutes of the game between the Chiefs and the Bills. The only thing I can fault the Bills for is they just had a lapse of defense. Like that last draw, the one where they had 13 seconds, the Chiefs had 13 seconds on the clock. for some reason they decided to go prevent with the Chiefs still having three timeouts, and they let Tyreek Hill get open, and they like the two guys that you're not supposed to let get open, you let get open on two continuous snaps, and they were able to tie the game, go into overtime and all that. I was impressed by the Chiefs. I was impressed. I'm not impressed by their defense. I feel like their defense can be had at any time, and that's kind of what Josh Allen did. He had his way. It was just at the end of the game, it just the defense wasn't able to stop the Chiefs' offense, and I think that's the Chiefs' best defense too, is their offense, the way they're able to control the ball, the way they're able to do a lot of different things. I was very impressed by the way both teams got in that shootout. And I mean, it's just Patrick Mahomes again. It's Travis Kelce again. It's Tyreek Hill again. And I mean, I think the only thing that could stop that trio, I don't think anything can stop that trio, to be honest. I mean, they really take control, and they do a lot of really good things. So I'm impressed by that victory. And obviously they ended up winning it, but man, it was just, that Sunday game was, it had everything, literally, that Chiefs Bills game.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy to think that, you know, in 2 minutes, so many points were scored. I think it was 26-21. And just watching kind of Josh Allen, you know, carry this team, you know, running on fourth downs, throwing to Gabriel Davis for another conversion. And I felt like that was it. And then the Chiefs come right back and score fast with Tyreek Hill doing the peace sign. Okay, well, that's it. And then Josh Allen goes back down again and Gabriel Davis. And it's just so much scoring and scoring. But I think we'll remember that game for the 13 seconds because, you know, I'm not going to lie, because I was watching that game with Caroline, and she was really into the game, and she's not even a football fan. I told her, no, they need a miracle right here. No way they're going to score. It's over with 13 seconds. And then, sure enough, the Bills kick it into the end zone to kind of give them the ball to 25 seconds. That was already a blunder off the bat for the Bills. And then, they kind of get going. They, like you mentioned, they let Kelce get open in the seam. And at that moment, I'm thinking, like, okay, yes, your mind is racing when it's kind of, you know, yeah, last second football. But I'm thinking, like, why not let Kelce keep running up the field, touch him there, and then kind of have more clock go off. And then by the time the Chiefs get up the field, the game is over. But I guess you're not thinking that in the moment. But overall, you know, there was a blunder by the Bills in 13 seconds, but for the Chiefs to make it work. And it's just crazy to me. Like, you know, the Chargers had so many crazy games. I forgot about the game against the Chiefs and the Chargers at SoFi Stadium overtime, you know, where Kelce had that that big touchdown. It kind of felt like that a little bit, but like four notches above that. And it's just crazy how these games got really entertaining. But, you know, I enjoyed watching Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis step up, and it was a fun game. But again, I guess it's kind of like for the Bills, they need to go through some heartbreak, I guess, before, you know, getting over that hump over the Chiefs now 2 years in a row. But it just shows you that the Chiefs have that extra gear to make it work. And I guess 13 seconds is not enough, but you kind of feel for Josh Allen. But overall, maybe you can get into it a little bit, but the future for the AFC is really bright with those two guys at quarterback.
Yeah, you have those two guys. You have Joe Burrow, you have Justin Herbert, you have Lamar Jackson, you have just so many young quarterbacks that's why I'm telling you, like, the AFC is literally the farm system coming up. And the NFC has all the old quarterbacks and all the broken down quarterbacks and all that. So the AFC, man, is going to be nuts for the next few years. And that's why I'm kind of like, if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to like Pittsburgh or Denver or Las Vegas, man, it could be a shit fire storm like in the AFC with all this. And it's funny because that's what I was telling Dan earlier, because he's like, oh, if he comes to the Broncos, they're automatically Super Bowl favorites. I'm like, I don't think so. I was like, not in the AFC with all this firepower that all the teams have. I don't know about that. But yeah, no, it's definitely crazy the way the AFC is right now and all the young quarterbacks. That's why the Chargers need a better defense, because of all these quarterbacks that are in this division and in this conference. You're going to need a better defense moving forward. But did you want to?
Yeah, but kind of going off of your point, like, the Bills defense is not that bad, but it's still got torched by Patrick Mahomes. It's like, what do you do on defense to really stop these guys besides, you know, have the ball last or win the coin toss? So that is kind of an interesting strategy.
Buffalo, I was surprised they didn't blitz as much. I thought they were going to blitz a little bit more, because when they were blitzing, they really were getting in Patrick's face. And at the end of the game, not the last 13 seconds, I mean, in those other drives, I was surprised they really let off the foot off the gas and they really try to just defend the pass. But I'm like, no, dude, you have to really still come at him and try and disrupt him a little bit.
Yeah, and one more point, Fernando. This one you might like. I guess I might give you some credit here, but just watching the Chiefs, it just showed you, you know, you can never have too many skilled players, and it just showed you that that track meet, that was their type of game. They could score at will, and maybe that's what Justin Herbert needs. Yeah, they're gonna focus on the defense. We're gonna say they need defense, but sometimes maybe the skilled players adding more of that does not hurt because. Yeah. You know, with Josh Allen just going to what happened to Stephon Diggs, that's another thing. But going to Gabriel Davis over and over again, it kind of felt like Herbert going to Mike Williams over and over again. But sometimes that's not enough when the Chiefs have more playmakers, you know?
Yeah, no, they did. Chargers need speed on offense, and Jalen Guyton to me is not it. So I really do think that they need more speed. They need a faster receiver. But I mean, we'll see what they ultimately end up doing. All right, Gilbert, it's time for. Our picks for this week. So let's go first with the AFC Bengals Chiefs.
Well, you know, I'm glad you started with this one because I'm still thinking about the other one. I really don't know.
Oh, to my. Be honest.
So I really like what the Bengals do. We were watching that other game, the first game between the Chiefs and the Bengals at SoFi Stadium in the press box. And that was one of the game of the years. It feels like maybe it might be fifth on the list now because so many games have happened since then. But Jamar Chase does well, Joe Mixon, they could keep up with this Chiefs offense, and they have some solid players on defense too to kind of maybe contain them a little bit. But I think in this environment at Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC title game, I don't think the Bengals have that experience just yet. So I will go with the Chiefs to beat them.
I'm with you. I really don't think that they have the experience, and I feel like it's going to be loud. It's going to be the Chiefs fans are going to be nuts. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it'll be a close game, but at the end I think the Chiefs pull away. I'll go first on this one. I think the Rams will beat the 49ers. It's funny because this whole story about, oh, they're trying to keep 49er fans away and all this stuff, this makes me laugh because everybody always craps on the Chargers for, oh, opposing fans. Look at the problem that the Rams have. The Rams have that same exact problem. Where opposing fans can come in and take over the stadium, but they only crap on the Chargers. So I think it's kind of funny that the Rams are going through this. I expected there to be a sea of red again. I do expect there to be a lot of 49er fans on Sunday, but I think the Rams are going to pull this one out. There's no way you can lose three times in one season, plus a seventh time in a row, lose to Kyle Shanahan. Because if you do, then damn, there's something wrong with this. And with all the firepower that the 49 that the Rams have, it's going to be, it looks like a Rams, that Rams defense against that Chiefs offense is what I'm really interested in. So I'm going to say that it's Rams Chiefs Super Bowl.
You know what that reminds me of, you know, just kind of use like a baseball, I guess an analogy or situation. I don't know if you were into baseball back in the day, but it felt like when the Red Sox kept playing the Yankees and the Yankees kept beating the Red Sox and then Pedro Martinez was like, well, call the Yankees my daddy, and it kind of just blew up. And I felt like if they lose again, like Sean McVay has to say, Kyle Shanahan is my daddy. So it's a lot of pressure on them. They're at home. It might not feel like it.
Are you going to be there?
It's looking like it. I'm not for sure just yet, but I think so. It's looking like it on Tuesday we're recording. But yeah, if I'm out there, I'm going to probably walk around and kind of feel the environment because, yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of red and gold, I guess, you know, for the Niners colors. But I really want to go the other way because you picked the Rams, just kind of be different. But how do you lose seven or eight in a row?
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no way you can do it, especially with all the firepower you have on offense, like, and defense. You should be able to beat these guys, but for some reason, they just can't do it.
Usually, you would make me go the other way because I don't want to be the same, but I can't do it. I'm going with the Rams too, but we're the same.
With the halftime show that we have this year at this year's Super Bowl, this just feels like the big matchup, the Rams and the 49ers, or the Rams and the Chiefs, like the firepower on both sides. It just feels like this is going to be the
Super Bowl. We've already seen Niners Chiefs in a Super Bowl, so let's switch it up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that was our topics. Now let's go back to Gilbert's boy, Dan and Dago, and see what he has for us. That's right, Gilbert! Oh! I live rent-free in your head, and you fell right into my trap. No one cares. No one cares that you went 2-4. That's 50% you're failing in your NFL picks this weekend. If this was a report, you would have failed. F
Those are rookie numbers. I made you sweat out those two wins because in the back of your mind, you know you're cursed. You cursed my team. Okay, now it is time for Una Mas. Frau and I watched Scream 5 recently, and he's ready to provide an avocado movie review. Look at my brother. Like, let's big shout out, round of applause. Look at him always thinking of others and providing them great content. Is there an award? Is there an award we can give this guy? What do you do? Hilberto! You know the only thing you bring, Hilberto, is a shovel to this podcast because you're burying anyone and everyone, and it is always happening. But anyway, don't get me started. Let's get to Una Mas.
Good stuff from Dan and Dago Gilbert. Before we do our avocado movie review, I have one. I have to show you a quick video. Do you like the circus?
Not really because of animal cruelty, but that's a story for another day.
Okay, well, this is how... Well, I wasn't trying to go that dark. This is how acrobats train for all the stuff that you see that they do at the circus. Look at this. They're like in a wheel, and she's like going in it and moving around. And I'm so look at that. I'm so fascinated by this.
So they're training for a circus?
Yeah. Event? It's circus training. But look at the way, wow. She has the wheel and everything, and like she goes. Look at that. Boom. And you have to get in there before you get smushed. I couldn't do that in my
life. You try, Fernando.
I couldn't do that in my wild. Look at that. Oh, my God. I couldn't do that in my wildest dreams.
I didn't even know the circus is still a thing. It sounds so old school, you know, to go to the circus.
Yeah, I know. I do it. Real quick, though, I wanted to show you this. This also looks like a lot of fun. These guys do spectacular catches training. They catch. Ooh, look at that one-handed.
Like Odell Beckham right there.
I know. Look at that. Oh, that honestly is so much. Like, so there's like a little cushion, and they jump. Like receivers jump, and they try and make like spectacular catches. I feel like Mike Williams is one of the guys that could train something like this.
What do you think? Yeah, he's always falling too.
This is interesting. All right, Gilbert. So my movie review.
What you got
over the weekend, or no, last week, Dan and Dago and I, we were kind of bored, and we're like, okay, let's go somewhere. We decided to go to the movies to go watch Scream 5. Scream 5 just came out.
You might be the only person that watched that movie, by the way, Fernando.
No. There was a lot of box office.
Really?
They were one of the big box office movies, that and Spider-Man.
I feel like I haven't heard that.
So obviously, like, I'm a huge Scream fan. Like, the first three I loved. The fourth one I actually thought was really good. I go see this one, and I wanted to pluck my eyes out. Like, I was just not happy with the movie at all. Like, I think they went away from everything that Scream is. I don't know. I didn't like it. Like, the whole storyline was dumb. And then, they barely used Neve Campbell. Like, she was in there, but it wasn't like an old, like, I don't know. It's not like the original, like the Hello Sydney. Like, come on. Like, I wanted more from her. I wanted her to be more a part of it. Courtney Cox, obviously, was semi in it too, but I'm kind of like, dude, that's, we want to watch Scream for Courtney Cox, for Neve Campbell, for all these other people, but they didn't do it. So I was very disappointed. I gave it 3 avocados. It was like bad. Like saying,
I thought we were going off percentage, 100%.
Oh, percentage. My bad. 30%. It was bad.
A spoiled avocado. Throw it away.
Oh yeah. And they're talking about how, that Scream fans want a number 6. Hell no, not after the crap that you just gave me right now. I'm like, if that's what you're going to give me, I'm going to be pissed. No, I'm good. They're like, oh, we could start a whole new trilogy. No, don't start shit. Like, no.
I didn't even know there was a Scream 4, Fernando. I thought it stopped after 3.
3 good. 3's good. 4 is all right.
I haven't even seen number 2 or 3.
Bro, just come down here. I got them all on my Apple TV.
I don't know. If they're not better than the scary movies, you know, the spoof spinoff.
No, come on.
Those are fun.
But these are, like, they're good movies. Oh, our good friend Jerry O'Connell's in number 2.
Oh, yeah.
He's Neve Campbell's boyfriend.
Was so, he wasn't on the sixth one, whatever, fifth one, whatever it is?
No. He doesn't make it past the second movie.
Oh,
you get what I mean? So
it makes sense. But I could have told you, Fernando, when you told me Scream 5, like, there's a fifth one. They never do well after like maybe the
but third the fourth one I had done okay. I thought it was good.
When did that one come out? I had no idea there was a
2014. No, 2013 or 14. You know who was in it? One of my crushes. God, I forgot her name. Hayden Panettiere was in that movie.
No, she looked good.
Okay. Heroes. Did you ever watch Heroes?
Yes.
Yeah, her. The blonde.
Oh, that's her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Real quick though, also, I did watch Gotham. I finished Gotham. It is very long. I don't care. It was a great show. I recommend that. Gotham is basically what happens between Bruce Wayne's parents getting shot and him becoming Batman. So basically you get how Jim Gordon was as a cop, how he did everything. So I thought it was a great show. I give it a 91% on the Avocado Review. I thought it was a really good show. The Penguin is hilarious. I really like the show, and I recommend it, Gilbert, for you to watch that show.
Okay. I'll check it out. You've mentioned it before. And how about I end with a teaser for a future Avocado movie review from me? And many people might like this one. I gave my partner a shout out earlier, Caroline. She finally did the, unthinkable or the impossible. She finally forced me to watch the Lord of the Rings movies and the Hobbit movie, So I've watched 5 out of the 6 movies, and I will give you my review next week for that.
I've never watched
really?
Lord of the Rings.
Okay. Well, I thought you Harry Potter people like the same thing, so I don't know.
Wait, so you haven't finished Harry Potter, but you started all those other series?
Yeah, she pretty much forced me because she's a big fan of Lord of the Rings. We started with The Hobbit, and then we're into the Lord of the Rings.
So you haven't finished Harry Potter?
I have not. God. I will try to do this. I have more time now, friend. Keep that in mind. I have more time now. So, yeah, for the future.
All right. Well, you need to finish Harry Potter. Thank you guys so much for rocking with us. We have some big, big, big hitch things coming up for Compas on the Beat. You don't want to take any time off like Gilbert or I. We have some great stuff coming up. We're so excited. Thank you guys again for rocking with us. This has been a lot of fun. We will be having episodes. We're not going away, so don't get nervous. Just some hiccups here and there, but we will be doing episodes. Thank you guys again so much for rocking with us. But you know what, Gilbert? It's time. Vámonos.
Ya nos vamos, pues. Vámonos.